Good morning and welcome to our sermon this morning on April 19th at Life Creek Church. I'm coming to you from my home office because we are still under the stay-at-home order. And I want to encourage you to be careful when you do go out for groceries, wear a mask. Let's be healthy and do all we can to stop the spread of this virus. This morning, we are going to be taking a look at discipleship. We have come a long way, had a long journey with Jesus through his messages, through his parables, through his miracles, and then we came into Jerusalem with him and experienced his crucifixion, and then last week, his glorious resurrection with him. And now he has risen and has gone to heaven, is seated on the throne at the right hand of God. He has inaugurated his kingdom. And the believers, the church, the disciples are now looking at each other and going, now what? And that's what we are going to do. We're going to say, now what? How do we continue to follow after Jesus? And this week, we're going to talk about what it means to be a disciple, and then next week, continue with the church itself. So today, we're going to begin a sermon called A Disciple's Journey. And I say begin because it is a journey. We are going along the way of what it means to be a Christian. And we'll learn a little bit about what that meant in the first century and what it means to us today. Let's look at Luke chapter 9, verse 23. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer as we begin. Father, in the name of Jesus, come. Holy Spirit, come, teach us more about Jesus, about what it means to be his disciple, about what it means to be in relationship with you, Lord. Teach us. Open up our ears to hear, but not just to hear, but to be doers of your word also, Lord God. Lead us and guide us in your truth, in this experience with you. Even today, let it begin with this sermon, and we continue to grow. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's go back to that scripture. If anyone would come after me, come after me. Well, what I want to talk about is what it means to be a disciple. What does disciple mean? It means anyone who would come after, who would follow. And Jesus says, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself. So, when you're following after someone, you're setting yourself aside to learn from them. And look what it says, take up his cross daily. There's that sacrifice, and how often? Daily. We need to take up our cross daily and follow after Jesus. Now, what that means, basically, is what we're discussing. So we're going to talk a little bit in a moment about how Paul viewed that through these scriptures and what it means to us today. But let me just say, first of all, that being a disciple is not some higher calling. Sometimes some Christians get the idea that to be a disciple is some higher calling. Well, you believe, you cross the line into salvation and into heaven, and then, you know, there is some other higher calling of discipleship. But that really does not follow along with Scripture. Disciples are people who follow Jesus. It's just that simple. Are you following after Jesus, doing what Jesus did, learning from him, learning from his word, and living that out? That's what a disciple is. It's not a secondary calling. So if you are a believer, a true believer, then you are his disciple. And we are asked to follow after him. Now, in the first century, what that looked like was rabbis all had disciples. And a disciple of a particular rabbi is one that learned from him. And so the expression is sitting at their feet. You sat at the feet of the rabbi to listen to what he had to say. And in that day, that meant throwing a bunch of pillows on the ground. And the rabbi might be seated in a chair or on a stair. And beneath him would be all of his disciples learning from him. But that didn't just end there. They also followed after him. And in some extremes, they would even dress like him. They would look like him, like the rabbi. They would eat the things that the rabbi ate so that they could totally experience him and his understanding and his revelation of God, the revelation that the teacher had. Let's look at the scripture, and I'm going to show you this in Paul, and that is in Acts 22, verse 3. Paul said, "I am a Jew, born in Tarsus in Cilicia, but brought up in this city, educated at the feet of Gamaliel." Before Paul became a Christian, before he followed after Jesus, you may recall he said in other places, "I'm a Pharisee of the Pharisees." He was educated. He was highly educated, and his rabbi was Gamaliel. And how did he learn? He sat at his feet, educated at the feet of. That is the expression of what it means to be a follower. Now, this happened with Jesus, and I want to point this out in Luke 10, 38, 39, we have this same language understanding. "Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered into a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house, and she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching." You see, Mary was a disciple of Jesus. It's not only for men. It's not some higher calling. It is for those who will sit at the Lord's feet and learn from him. And that's exactly what Mary was doing. So what is a disciple? It is a follower. Now, what does that look like? Well, Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples." So see, they believed in him. And then Jesus said, "Now, if you abide, if you live in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And that's from John 8, 31 and 32. We love to quote that last part, "And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free," or "the truth will set you free," we say. But wait, the first part of that sentence is, if you live in his word, then you are his disciples, and you will know the truth, and it shall set you free. John 13, 34 and 35, Jesus said, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Notice that Jesus didn't say, if you stand up and fight each other on every disagreement that you have. That is not what we're called to. We're called to love one another. And this is how you're recognized as a disciple. You live in his word, and you do what Jesus has done. And, you know, just a second ago, I said that some of the disciples of rabbis even dressed like them. Isn't that what we want to do? We want to look like Jesus. Well, how do we do that? Sacrificial love and understanding of what that love truly is. And the only way to do that is to live in his word, to get that understanding of what Jesus did, who Jesus was. It's not about fighting one another as to who's doctrinally right. If you are a believer in Jesus, we're brothers and sisters. This is how we know that we're disciples of Jesus. And that said, we should be able to look at others, at the Methodists, at the Pentecostals, at the Presbyterians, at the Lutherans, and we understand that they love Jesus. They're his disciple, and we should love them. They're our brothers and sisters. We can have differences, but it isn't something we should take out and before the world and tell our neighbors and complain about one another. That's not showing love for one another. Okay? So that is a way that we will recognize who is a disciple. Now here in John 15, 4 through 9, Jesus says, "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me." Now we're talking about bearing fruit here. "I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers." That's a little bit hard, isn't it? I mean, if we don't abide in him, in his word, we're thrown away like a branch and we wither. But you know, while I'm saying that that's harsh, at the same time, it's true. If we are not abiding in God's word, our faith starts to wane, starts to grow cold. We need the refreshing of God's word every day. We abide in him, take up our cross daily. "If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified." By what? "That you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love." Abide in my love, he says. We live in his word. We live in his love. We show love to one another. And in that way, we can bear fruit. We bear the fruit of God, of what Jesus has done for us. Amen? Let's look at the next verse. This leads us to a next point I want to make. As his disciples who learn from him, well, what do we do? We do the same things that he has done. Let's look at this scripture in Luke chapter 10, verses 1 through 9. "After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of him, two by two, in every town and place where he himself was about to go. And he said to them, 'The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Pray earnestly to the Lord of harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. Go your way. I am sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no money bag, no knapsack, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him. But if not, it will return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking what they provide, for the laborer deserves his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and they receive you, eat what is set before you." And this is a point that I want to get to. Jesus has sent out 72 others, and what does he say for them to do? How he is to go? They're to go into the town, but then do what? Verse 9, "Heal the sick in it and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.'" There it is, what we have been talking about for such a long time, the kingdom of God. And what happens when the kingdom of God comes? People are healed. They're forgiven of their sins. They're healed from that as well. They're healed in their soul. And you might say, well, I can't heal anyone. You're right. You cannot heal anyone, but you can pray for their healing. Amen. Pray for those who need prayer. Don't just leave them. This is a little bit of a rule that I make for myself. When somebody asks me to pray, I try and pray right then. They say, Pastor, will you pray for me for my son to come to know Jesus? He's going through a rough time. Let me pray right now. That way I won't forget. Let's pray right now. And why wait? Let's bring that answer to prayer right now. And when someone is sick and they're asking you to pray, let me just give you a way to answer that. Just say, okay, let's pray right now. Amen? Let's pray right now. Let that healing come. Let that kingdom of God come to them. That is on Jesus. But we simply pray for that healing. That is what Jesus sent out people to do. So when we're looking at how do we bear fruit, we bear fruit in love. We bear fruit by looking like a person who loves, not a person who fights. We bear fruit by praying one for another and by letting his word abide in us. Now, let me read another difficult word to you. From Mark 10:21, Jesus says, you lack one thing. Go sell all that you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me, or come, be my disciple. To this rich young man, he gave specific directions because the young man asked him. He said, what do I lack? And Jesus said, because he was able to discern, Jesus said, you lack one thing. Something that was standing in the way of his relationship with Jesus. And he said, go sell all you have and give to the poor. Now, I'm not telling you that you have to sell everything you have. I'll let the Holy Spirit tell you what to do with that. This man had his riches in the way of his relationship. So he was given some really tough directives. And there might be something that tough that Jesus is telling you to do, even to reach out to your neighbors. For some of us, that's uncomfortable. And that's hard to do sometimes. But Jesus has said, go make disciples. So consider what God is asking you to do. And that is something that can make you a stronger disciple. You say, okay. Here I go. I'm doing what you said. I'm doing what you asked. I'm following you. Matthew 28. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Now he's talking to the 11 disciples, and he says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Jesus said to the disciples, to those 11, he said, go and make disciples. This is the mission of the ministry that we've had in Bolivia, of Lovely Feet Ministries. Our mission, our goal, is that we would make disciples that make disciples, that make disciples, that make disciples. And so you see, disciples is not limited to a few. It's not limited to a special calling. It is us going and making disciples. Let me first say, notice that it doesn't say go and make converts. In other words, to say the sinner's prayer, very important step of faith. But that isn't making a disciple. That is bringing salvation to them. But Jesus says, make disciples. what does that salvation mean? It is one of the reasons why we were in the mission field, is because we didn't want to just go and make a trip and have people say a prayer and then leave them. We want to make disciples that make disciples. So we went to Bolivia to share with people who didn't know Jesus, to open up that door and then to teach them first steps of discipleship, and then to train up a pastor and leave them with that pastor so that they can continue their journey. Because discipleship is a journey. It is not a line that you step over and suddenly you're a believer, you're in the kingdom of God. It's a walk. It's a journey. Faith by faith, grace by grace, step by step, precept by precept. This is a journey. It is a journey in the kingdom of God. That's what discipleship is. That's what we're talking about today. I will tell you a short story in Bolivia. We went to a village and Rhonda was speaking to a woman, and this woman said, "Well, I would like to say this prayer and have Jesus." And Rhonda said, "Well, you also have many, many gods. Are you ready to give up those gods and say that you want to become a follower of Jesus? Because you can't follow all these different directions." And the woman said, "No." And Rhonda said, "Well, you won't be a follower of Jesus, but I can pray with you that Jesus will reveal himself to you, that he will reveal more of himself to you, that the Holy Spirit would speak to you even in your dreams, so that you can become a follower, and so that you can come into the kingdom of God." See, she was trying to cover this base, check the box, you know, just in case this is the right way, then I want to say that prayer. And Rhonda was able to perceive what was going on and speak to this woman's heart more. So Rhonda did pray with her and pray that God would reveal himself. And then we continued to pray for her that he would. And in that village, there were other people that had become followers. And so the hope was, of course, that they would continue to share with her and make her a disciple. So the point here is that we become disciples through faith, through believing that Jesus Christ came, took our sin upon him, suffered, died, was buried, and rose from the dead. We confess that. We believe that in our hearts. And that begins our journey of faith. I shared earlier this week, and it was Wednesday, that the just shall live by faith. This is a faith walk. And this is the way we live, by faith to faith. It is not some formula. It is a relationship with Jesus. It is a journey that we follow him. And so I'm asking you today, are you following Jesus? Are you his disciple? What does it take? Let's be reminded. What does it take to be a disciple of Jesus? You abide in his word. You show love. We're known by our love. You learn from his word. And you bear fruit. Not fighting. We bear the fruit. Sacrifice and serving others just like Jesus did. And we make disciples. That is part of it as well. We pray for others to be healed. We bring the kingdom of God to others. This is what a disciple is. This is your journey. And this is only the beginning of what we will be understanding of what it means to be a disciple, what it means to be in the church. Next week, we're going to talk about the church and the aims of the church and what the church is striving to be. So we're going to pray, and I want to remind you that today at 1 o'clock is the small group meeting that you can join by Skype. Please do. But let's pray now about our walk of faith. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray to you, asking you, Lord, that if there be any listener here that doesn't know if they're a disciple or not, Lord, that you would set them on the path of discipleship, that you would set them on the path to follow after you. Lord, give us this new, renewed passion for your word, to understand you better, to be in your word, and to see what it is that you've said to us. And Lord, help us to look like you, to reflect you in the world, to bring this kingdom of God to others, and to make disciples who make disciples. Lead us, Lord. Help us to become stronger in our faith and in our relationship with you. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Be blessed and go and serve the Lord in the name of Jesus. Amen. And I will see you soon.